guys in a podcast, we're going to welcome a third guy in, the legendary owner of the information that is something relating to Cam Newton's bagman, Danny Sheridan. What do you think he'll have to say, Greg Doyle?
I have no idea, but this came together fast today. One minute I'm trying to get him on the phone maybe for a column, and then I'm thinking, shoot, this would be a good podcast interview. The world wants to hear what Danny Sheridan has to say. I'm not sure the world understands why we care. Like, it's like looking at a car crash. None of us really understand why we're looking at it, but we just can't stop looking. It's the same thing with him talking, but I guess we'll find out today what he has to say.
Exactly, and we've got him on the horn, so let's go right to it.
Yeah, Danny, hey, this is Greg Doyle. Where did this whole you know the identity of the Auburn bagman stuff come from? You know, kind of out of the blue, just one minute Danny Sheridan is an odds maker for USA Today, and the next minute he's talking about Cam Newton. How did this whole thing start?
Well, let me correct you and stop me if I go too long. I'm not an odds maker for USA Today. Yes, I've been providing odds for, I don't know, 29, 30 years there. An odds maker is someone who makes odds like I do, and they take bets on them. I don't take bets on them. I'm probably surprising, maybe not to you. I don't live in Vegas. I don't bet on football. I'm glad people do wager on football. I make a handsome living. But again, USA Today has never referred to me as odds maker. That's something that some people do in the press to either take a shot at me, and I'm not ashamed of it. But when I make odds of the Detroit Lions are 1,000,000 to 1 to win the Super Bowl, or Cincinnati is 1 Googleplex to 1 to win the Super Bowl, you can't bet those odds. They're 100 to 1 in Las Vegas, and I'm trying to educate people. So I make odds on everything. They're very entertaining, but it's not like, oh, this odds maker knows people at the NCAA. Hell, I know almost every head football coach. I'm friends with so many of them in college and pro ball, professional league owners, and I'm not ashamed of it, Will or Greg. I happen to have a lot of contacts for 20 years. A lot of these guys were, you know, we grew up together in our 20s. Say Terry Donahue, I'll mention his name because he's not in coaching. Terry was like 29 years old, and I was probably 25 when I met him. Our families are very close, and I could go on. There's a million Terry Donahues out there. I do not call any coach.
I hear you, Danny. Listen, I know you make odds. You're not an odds maker. I misspoke. Don't worry about that. But just if you
don't mind. It's not a misspoke. It's a misconception, which I wanted to clear up. Not rebuke you. It's a normal. People think I live in Vegas. I guess it could be called. If that's the worst thing they can say about me, that's okay.
Well, just then where, we know you live in Alabama, but where did the identity of the Auburn bagman thing, just, you know, you start one day, you're talking about it, and now, of course, you're national news, and I know you know that, and I'm sure you're not thrilled about it, but you are. Where did it come from? Where did it start with you?
No, it's a great question, and I don't think anybody's asked me that question. I guess sometime in May, Paul Feinbaum, who you know has a national syndicated show, radio show. I've known Paul for years, and he called me out of the clear blue sky because I have a lot of contacts all across college football, not just at the NCAA, or former investigators that have retired from the NCAA, and maybe your compliance officers at different schools. So I'm sitting in my office in May doing something really important, like maybe playing solitaire or planning a fun trip to New York. No BS. I was doing one of the two or both. And he says to me, can you tell me about Cam Newton? I said, I don't know the first thing about Cam Newton, except he's the best player I've ever seen. Next question. This is all off the air. Do me a favor. Everybody thinks the Cam Newton investigation's over. The Auburn coaches think it's over. Everyone thinks it's over. Yeah? What do you want? Can you find out if it's over? Because Paul knows over the years, when I was on CBS and CNN, I broke a gazillion stories. They didn't hire me for my looks. They hired me to break stories and occasionally predict some football games. All right, so put it in your mind. I make a couple of phone calls. So give me a couple of days. It only took me 5 phone calls, and I spoke to someone who said to me unequivocally, who would know the investigation. I didn't use the term hot and heavy, but he made it pretty clear to me. Are you crazy? This investigation is going on. We got a million things to investigate. So I called Paul back, which I should have done, and informed him that I don't want to sound like the smartest guy in the world, but, yeah, the investigation's on, and everybody out there that says it's not is wrong. He goes, I said, go ahead and use it, Paul. Have a nice day. Wait a minute. I want you to be on the air. Well, I'm a veteran. I should have known better. A lot of people would relish the spotlight. I'm well known. I'm a brand name in the prediction business. I don't need this kind of attention and don't solicit it and don't want it. So I made, and I apologize for this, and I probably have no apology to give, but I did say on the air, I'm sorry I got involved. I never should have gotten involved, especially with the passion between the two schools in my state. And I've so stated, and I'm getting off the record. I'm not off the record. I'm getting off the subject with a garrulous answer. But I told Paul I'd go on the air. And no, and again, when I hear crap like, well, you graduated Alabama, it means nothing to me. I do not want any SEC school on probation, especially those two, Alabama and Auburn. Why? Because we're a poor state. It's worth hundreds of millions of dollars to our state, a gazillion jobs, and I just don't want to see it. And the SEC and the South gets picked on unfairly by the media, so I don't want to be a party of that. So what do? He talks to me in the going arm. He didn't twist my arm. He said, I just want you to make a simple statement. Tell the truth that you firmly believe that. I went on the air in May, I think, and said, yes, the investigation's going on. That's all I said. Will, Greg, that was it.
Yep.
I got vilified nationally. A month later, again, I have to be right. I'm held to a higher standard than you guys. I don't think that's fair because I'm not as good a writer as you. I'm not a commentator. I'm not an investigative journalist, but I do break stories every now and then. Bottom line was the New York Times, maybe a month later, came out and said, hey, Sheridan was right. The investigation's hot and heavy. They took it another step forward, and I could have broken this story, too, and it's not knock to knock the New York Times. Chizik, the Auburn coach, got in a pretty good argument, and Dooley also did, too, the Tennessee coach, telling the NCAA lady that was the lady that she's the head of enforcement, I think, Newman. They told her, and it was reported in the New York Times, that, hey, you need to let us know about this investigation. And Chizik and to Dooley, coaches Chizik and Dooley, we're investigating it. They didn't say it to Dooley. Dooley just wanted to know when it was going to be over and they were going to get their fine. But they told Chizik, we'll let you know when the investigation is over. My point is, I was right. But you didn't hear anybody saying, oh, Sheridan was right. You know, I got vilified for a month for telling the truth and then innocently telling Paul's audience the truth. Then I went to SEC Media Days. I also spoke the truth. So when you say the NCAA, I lost you, my point is I have never, and this is very important, I have never stated publicly or privately that I know what's going on. The only thing I've stated is, I should say what's going on, the only thing I've stated publicly is the truth. I know I was told by people at the NCAA, by other sources, that the Cam Newton investigation is still going on. I was told the name of a person that the NCAA alleges paid his father. I do not know if it's true. I do not investigate it. And that's all I've said. I also said, which no one wants to hear on the show, on Paul's show live, I'll get you the name in 2 to 3 weeks, the alleged name that the NCAA feels. I have no opinion in the matter because I'm not involved. I'll get you that name. I did. And I said, I may not say it. I may not reveal it. And everybody is wearing my ass out because I didn't reveal it on his show, and he played the tape 2 times where I clearly stated I may not reveal it. Now, your question about the NCAA is what?
Well, actually, my question for now, Danny, is why don't you go ahead and reveal it? I mean, obviously you have reasons, but what are those reasons?
Well, the 2 reasons. One, it's called integrity. You wouldn't reveal a source. If I were to reveal the name, I would get sued, probably. Truth is the best defense in a libel suit. I have one of the top libel lawyers in the country representing me. And he said to me, oh, that's great. You won't have to worry about it. You'll get sued, but you won't be held accountable. However, in sworn depositions, you can't hide behind, oh, I'm a journalist. I'm not going to reveal my source. You've got to defend yourself, and you've got to reveal your source. And when you reveal your source, possibly former NCAA employees, current NCAA employees, when you reveal that source, they're going to get fired. You're going to ruin careers. And let me tell you something, Will and Greg, you wouldn't do that, and I wouldn't do that. And if I'm going to bite the bullet and no one believes me, what options do I have? It's the only options I know of. I'll take truth serum. I'll take a polygraph. And this crap about a polygraph is not admissible in court. I know that. I have a law background. But I'll tell you what a polygraph does. When you get charged with a federal and state crime, the first thing those prosecutors ask you and your lawyer, will your client submit to a polygraph? Because they're about 97% accurate. Not admissible in court. Well, I'll take my 97% chance. I'll pass every damn one of them, and the NCAA won't pass a single one about what we talked about.
Danny, do you wish you'd never said a thing? Now that you can't name the guy, you don't want to name him, do you wish you'd never even gone out down this road because, you know, you
I agree. I've apologized for that. This is not, it's great publicity for some people. They want to make a name off of me, or they might think it's great publicity for me. My business is picking football games. I got the largest private newsletter and football newsletter in the country. That's my bread and butter. I got better things to do than to have my name bounced out there, to be on TV shows. No offense to your show. I respect y'all. I'll never refuse to answer a question truthfully. And answer your question, I've apologized on the air. I am sorry I got involved. I'm a big boy. I should have known better. But I got to tell you, I never thought this would have a life like it's had. And I'm afraid it's not over. The best news I've ever had that I can see is that football season starts this week. And I'm just so happy. And maybe this thing will go away. But my guess is it's not going to go away. And if I didn't know anything, let me just backtrack. You guys are incredible guys. If you were interviewing me privately like the NCAA did, and I was trying to allegedly find out information from you, I don't need to find out anything from them. If I were doing that, how long would you guys keep me on the phone? 5 minutes? 10 minutes before you hung up on me? What would be your answer to that? Would you keep me on the phone longer than 10 minutes?
Danny, let me be honest with you.
They kept me on the phone for almost an hour.
Danny, you probably kept them on the phone for an hour because you're a heck of, I mean, I love it, but you have a way with words. But let me tell you something. Let me ask you.
I don't have a way with words. This is the truth. This has nothing to do with words. I'm tired. I've been up half the night. This is the truth. You wouldn't spend, I'm pointing to you, the obvious. You wouldn't spend an hour talking to me if you didn't think I knew what I was talking about. That's not a pat on my back. They spent almost an hour on the phone with me. They asked me not to say anything. I kept my word. I'm not going to keep it anymore. It's not a matter of breaking my word. They asked me to say no comment, to catch heat in the press. Hey, Will and Greg called Danny. What did you talk about? I have no comment. You blister me. But I said I will take one, a hit for the team. Well, you see how they operate. They called me for two reasons. They want to know the names of all the NCAA people, past and present, that I talked to. They tried to disguise it about two or three times in the conversation, and they may have wanted to know what I know about other investigations. That's all they wanted to know. And I said to them, I will answer your questions truthfully, but you've got to say yes or no if I'm correct. They wouldn't do that. They hide behind, it's an investigation, we can't comment. Oh, really? Your president just commented and said that Auburn's under investigation. Your president, Emmert, just said that Miami's under investigation, and he elaborated. But the party line, we don't comment on investigations. Sorry, I'm getting worked up. You're going to have me worked up before I do my speech tonight.
No, I didn't mean to interrupt you. No, it's fine. But Danny, listen.
You joined Twitter late July. And in the month,
I joined Twitter late July because my godsons, one of them's a lawyer, has been hawking me for years to get out of the 19th century like I'm on my 19th century cell phone. And he said, you need to have a Twitter account. Don't people call your office that cannot afford your service? Yes. Why don't you talk to all these people? I have no idea what, I didn't know what Twitter was until July. I really don't. Forget Facebook. You got to know.
My point is.
Send out tweets, and it is a nice way of doing it and answering a lot of questions. And I really like the medium, but your point, I'm sorry I interrupted you again.
You did. Well, and since you joined, you've tweeted about 250 times. You know, Twitter keeps track of that thing. And I looked, what's Andy talking about? And you've tweeted on two topics, really, only two topics. You're given the odds for various things, and you're tweeting on Cam Newton. It looks like you went to Twitter.
Well, now let me interrupt you. I don't have it in front of me, but that's not correct.
Yes, I tweeted.
Well, no, when I say not correct, your statement is on face is obviously correct. But would you say I've tweeted on Cam Newton? I have tweeted what people want to hear. What are the odds against Georgia winning the national championship? What are the odds against the NFL teams winning the Super Bowl? Those are about probably, I don't have the percentage in front of me, but I'm guessing 90 to 95% of my tweets. Yes, I've tweeted about, hey, I'm going to be on Feinbaum or I'm going to be on Outside the Lines. Why in the hell wouldn't I do that? The people that are following me want to know what the hell I'm doing. I don't tweet like these NBA players that I'm having lunch with, not Marilyn Monroe because she's not around, but I don't tweet that I'm going to the bathroom. I tweet important things in my life that I think that people who flatter me, who want to follow me, want to know. And I don't have like a million people. I mean, people don't even know I'm on Twitter. And I think within the first couple of weeks or a month, I have like 5,000 people following me. So, yes, I have tweeted that. Why shouldn't I? But I'm not going to tweet, I'm going to the movies or Mark Emmert said this or the NCAA said that. And I listed, I did put my statement on Twitter, which people told me, if you don't do, when you're telling the truth, you can't let somebody take a shot at you. If somebody says you suck, you're not any good, you can't pick football games, I don't even respond to that. Hell, maybe they're right. They're entitled to their opinion just like I am, and I respect that. But you're not going to lie about me, and I'm not going to lie about you.
No, but Danny, here's my point, is that in the last month you joined Twitter, and obviously, we all use Twitter to get attention for our job and to get publicity. And since you joined Twitter, you've all of a sudden come out of the woodwork with your Cam Newton stuff, and it looks like you're using that to get eyeballs on your stuff so you can then get attention for the stuff you really do.
Well, let me say this. That's a fair question, but I'm not using that to get whatever you call them oddballs. I didn't join Twitter till after, let's see, I did Feinbaum in May. I did the SEC meetings in July, and I don't remember the exact date, but I didn't join Twitter for that reason. My godsons had said to me, people want to hear, like, what you write in the newspaper. They would like to know that. Try Twitter, and that's what I've done. And I don't send these tweets out myself. I call. That's my information. I call a handful of people that I pay, and they deal with that. And it's great. So if you are in Tampa, Florida, or New York City, and you want and you really care, which you might not, what my odds are against the Giants winning 9 games this year, that's the kind of thing I've done on Twitter, and I've really enjoyed it, and it's spared me, and I shouldn't use the word spared me, but it's prevented me from doing, which I have no problems with, 30 or 40 interviews that I do a week that I don't have to do anymore. I appreciate the interest, but Twitter's a great thing, but if you think for 1 second that I'm doing Twitter to promote this Cam Newton thing, then you didn't listen to what I said earlier. I'm sorry I got involved. It's not going to happen again. I've already been asked to quote to comment on different investigations, which I'm aware of, which I'm not going to do. I learned my lesson. It's what I didn't do anything wrong. I told the truth, but we live in a politically correct society. I never should have got involved, and I apologize that I did get involved. I don't owe anybody an apology, but I am sorry that I got involved. That's all I know to tell you.
Danny, you mentioned that, you know, Emmert and the NCAA are blistering you in the press, and they're, you know, the latest I read is they came out. I mean, they did blister you, and I know you're not going to take to Twitter to you know, take a shot back at them, but I mean, is there anything you'd like to say to the NCAA? I mean, having talked to them for an hour, and then
First of all, I'm surprised that. I think it's a safe statement to make. If I was not relevant in their eyes, they would have just ignored me, and they really should have ignored me. They didn't ignore me in the late 1980s, early 90s when I broke over 4 dozen stories on live on CNN and CBS. But there was no national, there was no internet, there was no, you know, something that you could, let me say, the stuff I did then got me hired, kept me hired, made me a sought-after guest on many shows, but there was no modem like there is today. And what I said was, you know what I said. You know, you're very familiar with it, but to answer your question with the NCAA, if I'm the NCAA and Sheridan's not telling the truth, I don't waste my time. I mean, he's just he's a flea on an elephant's butt, and that's what I would approach it as. However, they showed me that they know I'm telling the truth. They won't accept they're the ones that fired the shot over the bow. They're the ones that said to me when I asked them point blank, one of their top investigators, what do you want me to tell the Wills and the Gregs when they call me and say, did you talk to the NCAA? Yes. What did you say? You want me to say no comment and take the heat? I'll buy one for the team. And that's what I agreed to do. And that's what I did. And I'm not doing that anymore. They lied, not me. And as far as their comments, anybody that believes those comments, and you saw my comments, we'll settle it real simple. Set up a polygraph, I mean, or whatever you want, hypnosis, hell, I don't know. I'm telling not 99% of the truth, 100% of the truth. They couldn't pass a smell test. I can in this particular instance. And let me say this to you. They got major problems in-house. They got a red and blue state situation like we do in this country. Half the people in that organization, or a good percentage of them, are really pissed off that Ohio State gets to skate. Perhaps you two can explain to me how you can, in the middle of an investigation, send Ohio State a letter, a sacred cow, a letter saying, you're not going to get charged with institutional control. You're not going to get charged with failure to monitor. They sent that out to Ohio State right before they've ever received the penalties. That'd be like the jury trial, and the judge says, don't worry, you're not going to be charged with this. I haven't even been the case hadn't been adjudicated, and they send that crap out, and then rumor has it, 3 weeks later, and please stop me if I'm wrong, 3 weeks later, after all the people at the NCAA revealed inside saying, how can you do this crap? They treat them like a sacred cow. 3 weeks later, they get a letter to Ohio State, and I'll summarize the letter. You're not out of the woods yet. What kind of crap is that? I know what it is. It's called preferential treatment. If Bowling Green had thought of doing what Ohio State did do and been doing since Woody Hayes, if they had thought about that, Bowling Green would have the death penalty. Ohio State gets to skate. There's a lot of people in the NCAA that are very good people that do their job and don't appreciate doing their job and being told, look the other way. And maybe they're not told those exact words, but the bottom line is Ohio State's got a lot of pull. You know who the pull is, and you know the TV money. And now that people have revealed in the NCAA, and I think Ohio State's going to get their just due. They're a great institution. I love them. I have great respect for them, but they're going to get hit better and more so than they thought they were 3 weeks ago.
Well, and there's another prediction, and you've been – we'll see how good that holds up. Listen, two things, Danny, and then I'll let you go. Two questions. First one is, has anybody from USA Today – is this thing has kind of steamrolled and, you know, gathered momentum. Has anybody from USA Today said, look, you're famous for one reason only, you make odds. Stop talking about this.
Well, no, I disagree with that. I'm famous if I'm infamous or famous, whatever word you like. It's because I predict football games, and I do it a real good job at it. I've been very lucky. I'm more accurate than you guys in the press against the point spread, not because I'm smarter, but because I know how to handicap better. So I'm well known for my predictions. USA Today, I provide the odds, the daily odds, plus my own odds, as I told you, on long shots, future odds. USA Today has been first class about it. USA Today asked me one thing. Is it true that you said that you would go on the air and break a name? This is not like you. This is not the guy we've known for 30 years. And I said to them, no, I never said that. I said I will not give out the name, or I may not give out the name. Oh, would you like to hear a tape of it? We've known you for 30 years. We don't need to hear a tape. That was the only discussion. All these cockroaches that hide behind these message boards, I'm not talking about people that take a shot at me. I'm talking about the ones that make up rumors that say I'm going bankrupt, I'm sleeping with barnyard cattle or, you know, whatever, barnyard animals. Those are the cockroaches I'm talking about. They call USA Today, get him fired. Let them call. Oh, I mean, like they're going to get me fired. Like that's my, anyway.
So it answers your question. It just sounds like, and I wouldn't blame you for this, but it sounds like you told Paul Feinbaum you might give him a name, you might not. USA Today calls, obviously not happy about this, and said, did you really say that? And now you're not giving a name. I'm going to connect with two dots. And
no, they didn't say that. The cockroaches that I talked to you called the paper and said he's on a publicity stunt. He teased us and said he would give the name, and he didn't. It doesn't sound like. It's unequivocal. I told Paul, and I shouldn't have done it when some of these cockroaches were calling. He doesn't know the name. He's full of crap. And I said, you know what? They're right. I don't know the name. But give me 2 to 3, this is my quote, give me 2 to 3 weeks. I will have you the name that the NCAA alleges paid Cam Newton's father, Cecil Newton. Well, guess what, gentlemen? I got that name within 3 weeks. I went back on the air. I also stated after that I would have the name in 2 to 3 weeks, that, quote, I may not give the name out. So people bend the truth, in this case lied, and called, you mentioned they called the newspaper, I guess, who knows how many of them, 100 of them, whatever. And they called the newspaper and said that he lied, he said he would give the name. Well, the newspaper knows I'm not lying, and you know I'm not lying. And if you don't, go to Paul's July 28th telecast, put it up on the Internet. I don't know how to do that, but you guys do, and you'll hear me say at the end, I'll have your name in 2 to 3 weeks, and I may not give it out. And I didn't. And I kept my word, and I can sleep at night. And, again, I'm sorry I got involved. And, hey, let me just say this. I'm only responsible for what I say and do. I am not responsible for what others say I say and do. And that's the way I'd like to end it.
All right, Danny.
Not in this telecast.
No. It's fine. We'll get you out on this. One last question. So who is Cam Newton's bagman?
I can't say I don't want to get a lot of people in trouble, and I don't want to be facing with a libel lawsuit. And I can tell you straight out, I don't know if it's correct. I just know that the NCAA has a witness or two witnesses that may or may not come forward. If these witnesses don't come forward, they will not pursue the Cam Newton issue anymore. And I look for the Cam Newton issue My guess is, based on NCAA investigations that I've known about for 30 years, my guess is within the next 3 to 6 months, the Cam Newton thing will be over unless the witness talks. Same thing I said with the Southern Cal. If Lakes doesn't talk, no case. Miami, no case if Shapiro doesn't talk. They don't have much of the NCAA. I feel sorry for them. They don't have subpoena power, so they must have a witness, or they got to have bank records, and or they got to have the church's records, which some people have said they do. And again, I got to tell you, not being cavalier, I really, yeah, when you try to shop your son for $180,000, that doesn't look good. If you go to St. Mary's, which is division whatever, and not big-time football, or Princeton, which is non-scholarship, you're going to have that cloud over your head because your father admitted, I want $180,000 to let my son play. But I got to tell you, I have no idea, I have no proof, I've said it from day one, that he actually took money. Yeah, it doesn't look good, but that's not my decision, and I'm really sorry that I got involved in this, but I'm not going to lie, and I'm certainly not going to back down when the NCAA puts out that crap after telling me just the opposite on the telephone. And you wouldn't either.
No, Dan, we don't blame you. All right, well, hey, we appreciate you taking all the time to talk to the two guys in the podcast. We'll talk to you soon, and best of luck going forward. We know you got a lot.
Well, let me say this: this is my first and only podcast, and it's been a real experience. And thank you. The 10 minutes turned into 30, and I just wish we could. Well, whatever. But
Danny,
I enjoyed it, and I appreciate you giving me the opportunity.
Earlier, but that's why the NCAA kept you for an hour, because you have a way of talking, and I love it. I love it. But that's what you.
Well, I have a way. I have a way of telling the truth, not a way of talking. I answer their questions straightforward. And again, I ask a simple thing. And if you think this is wrong, please tell me. I said they put another about an hour before they send me a cute little text. Could we have? Do you mind if another investigator gets on there midway during the conversation? Are you taping this, Danny? No, should I be? I'm just taking some mental notes or physical notes. But my question to you is, if you want me to tell you the name of that person that I heard from really good sources, sources in the NCAA, maybe sources outside the NCAA, if you want me to give you that person's name, Will and Greg, I just want one thing from you.
Okay.
Just tell me yes or no, am I right? And they wouldn't do that for me. So that's they spent almost an hour trying to get that out of me. But the only thing, they didn't care about that. The most important thing, they wanted to know how I know all this information. It goes back to the David Burst story that I told Greg off the air an hour ago.
Well, I don't know, Danny, why they would ask you for an hour who that name is if you apparently got from an NCAA source. I mean, they know who the name is.
Right, it's exactly right. The main purpose of the conversation was to get my sources, either at the NCAA, former investigators, current compliance officers at major universities. They wanted my sources, and they didn't badger me. They were very eloquent, much more eloquent than I could be, and trying to get that information out of me. And it dawned on me halfway during the conversation, this is not going anywhere. And I started the conversation off by saying, you people owe me nothing. If you want me to help you with other investigations, or if I can be of some small assistance, I'll do it off the record. I'll be most happy to. I'm not for cheating in college athletics. I'm not for pay for play. I think players should be paid. But I made it clear in my opening introduction, I don't know you people. You owe me absolutely nothing. I don't know where this conversation is going. And then we got into a conversation that probably lasted, I don't know, 45 minutes to an hour.
All right, Danny. Well, if we don't wrap this up, we will end up talking for 45 minutes to an hour. But that was it was fantastic.
Hey, I'm going to blame you tonight.
No,
I can't answer questions. This paying speech I got, I'm going to say, two great guys grilled me, got me worked up, and that's why I don't have a voice. But anyway, that's another thing, too. I would usually have a normal voice at this time of the year, but I've spent so much time on this, and I'm not going to turn credible people down like you who have a right to pistol whip me, a right to agree with me, and a right to disagree. I respect that. As long as you give me a forum to answer your questions, that's all I can ask. I ask of you.
All right, Danny. Well, fantastic stuff. We'll talk to you soon, and good luck in your speech.
Have a nice podcast for whatever that is.
All right, thanks, man.
We just did.
Stay well, gentlemen. Thanks for the opportunity. Take care.
All right, bye. Well, that was something, Greg. We found somebody who likes to talk more than us. That was impressive.
As I recall, and it feels like it's about 4 hours ago, but as I recall 4 hours ago, I said, it's kind of like a car crash. We don't know why we're watching, but we can't look away. And I swear, that was however many minutes that went on, that was just like a car crash. Like, I can't stop listening to him. I'm not sure what value I'm getting out of this, but I just can't stop listening.
The best part, and I don't think it'll come through on the edited version of the podcast, is that we lost Danny at one point, and you might hear a little bleep in there, or a little glitch in there where I'm cutting it. I'm a professional, so you probably won't. But the thing is that when we called him back, he's like, "I've been talking for 20 minutes to myself and didn't realize that you guys were gone."
Do you not think he got my point when he was trying to say that? Look, I spent an hour on the phone with the NCAA. Do you think they'd keep me for an hour if I had nothing of value to say? And I kept saying to him, "Danny, you can't stop talking.
Yeah.
You on the phone with an hour for them, not because they wanted to hear you talk, but because you probably wouldn't shut up," which is what happened with us. But that's fine. I mean, it was interesting. He's a nice guy. I don't mean to denigrate the guy, but there's a reason he was on the phone with them for an hour, and the reason is he talks for a long time.
No, it was hysterical because he was making his point about how long they spent on the phone with him, and then he was like, "And I've been on the phone with you guys for 30 minutes."
Like, oh, it's like one of those old Bugs Bunny cartoons or Porky Pig or whatever. I'm dating myself, but when the guy says, "Shut up, shutting up." I mean, like, at the end, we tried to let him go. "Danny, okay, thanks a lot. It's been nice having you. We're sorry it kept so long." And it was like five more minutes of, yeah, "you kept me a long time too." Okay, well, then hang up on it.
Yeah, it's like, we know you don't know what a podcast is. Let's move along. Either give us the, either give us the name of the bag man or not. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. He says 3 to 6 months. If the NCAA has a witness come forward, I don't know that they will. I don't know that there's a whole lot to gain from it. The witness kind of has to have seen Cam Newton receive money for it to actually matter, I guess.
Look, the witness doesn't exist. As I tried to very nicely say to him, you know, without just battering him over the head, "You've been on Twitter for a month. You've only tweeted about two things." And he tried to tell me I was wrong. I said, "No, Danny, I'm not wrong." And he never proved I was wrong. Yeah. And the thing is that he never refuted what I was trying to get him to understand, is that he's been on Twitter for a month and has tweeted on two topics. He's tweeted on odds, and I found that really odd that he kept saying over and over, I make odds. I'm not an odds maker, but I make odds. Wait a minute. Forgive us for being confused about that. But he didn't seem to grasp or just was ignoring the fact that you've been on Twitter for a month, and you've basically done two things. You've tweeted about your real job, your
right.
odds, and you've tweeted about Cam Newton and Auburn, and that looks a little bit weird.
It looks real weird because – why would you? He tried to say that he's been being badgered to get on Twitter for a while, you know, auspicious, you know, questionable at best, I think. And then to say that, you know, I'm not trying to promote my making of odds on Twitter vis-a-vis my Cam Newton discussion. But clearly, the only reason people are following him is because he is holding, theoretically, a piece of information that the world wants to know about, aka the identity of the Cam Newton bagman. And I mean, otherwise, you know, you would have a lot of degenerate gamblers following them, maybe, and people who like gambling advice. But aside from that, you're not going to get a ton of followers based on anything other than the Cam Newton thing.
Yeah, and I think, and I tried to say this to him, and get it from him, and he sort of agreed that this has gone in a direction he never dreamed it would go. And if he had to do it over again, he wouldn't do what he did. He wouldn't bring this up at all to Feinbaum or anybody else. And I think it's like getting on a horse, and you just don't know how wild that horse is until you
right.
sit on it. And once you're on that horse, it's too late. You know, you can sure wish you weren't on that horse, but that's not that. And 50 cents will get you a cup of coffee in a really cheap diner. So I think he was going for attention, going for some Twitter hits. Thought that would work. Had no idea it would mushroom out of control. And now he's on that horse and it's bucking. And I thought it was really interesting that he said that, you know, he told Feinbaum, maybe I'll give you a name. And USA Today called him one time about this. He told us. They,
right.
Yeah, one time. And that one time they asked, did you really say you're going to name the bagman? At that point, it was clear to Danny Sheridan, I can't name him now because USA Today wants no part of this. But he wouldn't, even when I threw that at him, well, is that kind of why you're not naming him? No, that's not why.
Yeah, no,
oh, okay.
Yeah, he made it sound like USA Today had his back. I think it's, you know, like if CBS was like, hey, if you name that bagman, you know, that would not be great. I wouldn't name that bagman. I'd go quiet too. I think the biggest difference here is that Danny Sheridan doesn't really have an understanding of why this whole thing mushroomed up. Remember, he didn't even know what a podcast was, and I think that he doesn't know how to do damage control. Like, he's even less capable of doing damage control. I mean, maybe slightly more capable of doing damage control than the guy who, like, you know, poisoned the Auburn trees or whatever.
I thought you were about to say that he's less capable of damage control than I am. And
no,
you're right about
no,
that.
You're good at damage control.
shoot, I feel like Major Tom to Damage Control. I've got no shot at stopping this.
But, anyway, but you have a hate mail column where you're like, hey, look, here's what you guys say. No big deal. I don't care. I mean,
Well, that's true. Yeah, that's true. He hasn't. This is really his first. I mean, here's a guy who's famous and well known, but he's famous kind of in one way, on one way street. I'm going to stand here on TV and talk about this, or I'm going to write at USA Today and write about these odds. He's never really dealt with. Well, what if it comes right back at you? And this is not a. I'm not taking a shot at him. I'm just saying it's like boxing. You hit a heavy bag, you can hit the bag really good, and you can be great on that bag. But when somebody starts actually hitting you back, it's a whole different deal. And I think he wasn't really ready for being hit back. And I don't blame him. It's not easy to do.
Well, and the other thing is that it's a totally different world than the last time. You know, he said he's, you know, used to break scoops all the time back in the day. Well, today, when something mushrooms out of control, as we said, it mushrooms like crazy. And that, I mean, that's the whole thing with Twitter and message boards and the cockroaches running around. It gets out of hand so quickly that if you don't know what you're doing when you jump into the water, you will sink to the bottom of the water very, very fast.
Yeah, it's like being in a courtroom. If you promise a jury you've got something, you deliver it right away, because the jury of your peers, Twitter, Facebook, whatever, talk radio, they're going to gather around you like a bunch of vultures and fly overhead and circle you until you give them what you want or you keel over dead. It's either or. And right now, Danny Sheridan is dying. I mean, you know, metaphorically, but his reputation is dying. And I'm not sure if he gets that. And because he's not on the internet enough to really know, I don't think he gets it. But his reputation has really taken a major beating, and I'm not sure. And look, now, look, if he comes out with a Bagman, if he has the Bagman, then it's all good for him. It's not a good problem, but it's good for him. But unless he comes out with a Bagman's name, he's falling down. He's not getting up.
Well, no, I mean, it's like a running joke. You know, there was a, to tie it back to a previous podcast guest, there was a running meme on the internet of 10 out of 10, talking about Charles Robinson's, you know, he told us, he mentioned it on the radio, and he said he's got a 10 that's coming, and everybody was, you know, guessing and making jokes about 10 out of 10, and then he actually dropped the 10, and everybody was like, whoa. And that's it. I mean, like, that's Danny Sheridan is currently in, and everybody respects Robinson. They weren't dogging him for it, but it was like a running, that's how the internet work. It's a 24-hour joke cycle most of the time. And right now, Danny Sheridan is in the middle of the joke cycle. And unless he drops that bomb and makes everybody say, whoa, then he's going to perpetuate the joke cycle until everybody gets tired of him.
Yeah, we tried to get out of them and we failed, but that's what we do here at Two Guys in the Podcast.
Right. Yeah, we ask people, we ask the hard questions.
We fail to get answers, but we'll keep asking them.
Yeah, we'll ask the hypothetical hard questions and try not to laugh. But you can keep hearing more of the hard questions if you subscribe via iTunes, as I'm required to tell you about, and by clicking, and we want our family and friends to do it anyway, Mom. So you can click the button above, subscribe to iTunes, or you can listen to the podcast, in the future. We get it first. We've got the hard breaking news and the hard questions. Greg Doyle, as always, an excellent podcast.
Thank you, Will. It's always fun talking to you and Dan Sheridan.